As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
Retzlaff, pressure comes. Retzlaff is going to heave one, and there's nobody over there. Third and 10. Pressure again. Retzlaff slings one, incomplete. Retzlaff. Retzlaff goes down! Reed got to him! There is a flag in the secondary. There is a penalty flag. Utah is celebrating. But I think this one's going against Utah.
Defense number five.
Whoa. Whoa.
Yeah, and that's a good call by the officials. It's, keep an eye at the very top of your screen. Right up here is the matchup. You're going to see Vaughn get a little bit handsy. It's a really good call by the officials.
For the lead for BYU. Snap, hold, kick, on the way, kick is good! Incredible! The game was over!
I know you're wondering, really, Zabe, on a Monday you lead with BYU and Utah? Well, sit back, I've got a method to my madness. And I'll explain it with the help of my longtime former radio wingman, Andy Pollin, who is tan, rested, and ready to get back in the game after his son's getaway Mexican vacation. Hello, Andy. How are you, my friend?
I am good, Steve. Yes, I'm familiar with how that game ended. And I am also familiar with the athletic director who ran to the podium. And,
oh, yes.
Probably will cost himself a lot of money.
He already has. He's already flushed a brand new Lexus with his mouth. Yeah. But there's a larger point I'm going to make, and I'll get to it right out of the gate. And then we're going to get a recap on Andy's son's wedding and a whole lot more, because a lot of shit did happen. The afternoon games on Sunday here in the NFL have turned out to be stink, stank, stunk, Andy. Blowouts! And the 1 o'clock window was electric factory, with 5-1 score games, four of them coming down to the wire, a block kick for the Chiefs, and more. But you know what? We don't always get exciting games. I do think we need to comment about how pretty much the Cowboys and Jets, who had huge hopes for this year, have now cratered, collapsed.
I mean, in retrospect, how could you not see this coming?
They who predicted it?
Well, I think
nobody.
A lot. No. I heard a lot of chatter about the Cowboys about the contracts were handled, about the way they strung CD along and they strung Dak along, and the rest of the locker room is going, well, if you're going to treat your stars like that, how are you going to treat me? That was a collapse waiting to happen. And the Jets, when you turn the team over to Aaron Rodgers, you say, oh, what would you like to do? Oh, you want to go to Egypt during the minicamp? That's okay. Don't worry about it. So this is what you get. You reap what you sow.
Yeah. The Aaron Rodgers era is effectively over. The Jets are getting run out of the building in Arizona. 31-6, your final. They'll fall to 3-7. They've already jettisoned a coach. They've already spent future assets on Davante Adams. That has not helped them. And the notion of Rodgers coming back to do it all over again next year, even a wide-eyed, delusional Mike Greenberg would not sign on to that. Now, would he?
No, No, yeah. He's already thrown in the towel. So this is the biggest collapse. Biggest, however he put it.
Said it was the biggest disaster in sports history.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
a bit much.
Hyperbole, yeah.
Yeah, right. It's a bit much, but I mean, yeah, it's a complete disaster. And then, you know, the Cowboys with Dak, it's like they were already, a lot of Cowboy fans are like, he's good, but he's not that good. And we loaded the boat with money for him. And now he's got this significant injury where they're going to shut him down for the rest of the season, it looks like.
Right.
I mean, and then Jerry Jones and more of a panic. He traded for a wide receiver this week in Jonathan Mingo. Like, people were like, what are you doing exactly?
Well, he's the GM.
I know.
He says he's the owner second. He's the GM first.
He bragged about it, saying nobody can do this better than me. Oh, yeah?
Really?
One of the 43 lab monkeys that escaped this week, and I'm not sure if we've found them yet, they could probably do at least as good of a job as you.
Yeah. I mean, look at your division rival, who finally, after 25 years of dysfunction, is doing it correctly.
The Lions.
And 7-3.
Right. Yeah. And the Bears are not, and we can get to the Bears in just a second. But let's start with the lead of the story, which is the Holy War, known as BYU versus Utah. For those that don't know, it is definitely Mormon on Mormon crime. But it's the hardcore Mormons at BYU against what you could better call West Coast Mormons in Utah. But they fucking hate each other up there. And they played a whale of a football game that just slipped through Utah's fingers. Now, Utah's had a very tough year. Todd Whittingham, their coach, was the story of last season. They got Cam Rising back for like his ninth year of eligibility. He got hurt again. So I understand the frustration, right? And they had this game won. As you heard in the highlights, it was 4th and 10 as they were just blitzing Kyle Retzlaff into oblivion at his own end zone. And they had just sacked him essentially for what would be the game clinching play, but a flag for holding on the DB was called. And the place went nuts because they were playing at Utah at Rice-Eccles Stadium. Right. I would say, in my book, I wouldn't throw that flag if I was the referee. But watching multiple angles, I can say, you know what? It was holding. It was, in my opinion. I don't know what you think about it. But it was the kind of play where a really good coach would say, fellas, they're backed up at their own goal line almost. It's 4th down. Don't even touch the receivers. We're going to sack this guy in 2 seconds flat. Don't give the refs a chance to even do anything. And their player fucked up. He committed a penalty that was close enough to being called. You know what they call that, Andy? Sports. Sports happened. A controversial call that did not decide the outcome of the game because the 5-yard penalty only gave them a new set of downs at their own 20.
Right. And could it be that the BYU story is just so delicious with a Jewish quarterback on an undefeated team? I mean, you know, isn't there something to that?
I didn't know Retzlaff was a Jew. You guys bring that up in your weekly meeting?
It's been a big story in my circles, yes.
Nice. Well, mazel. Good things, as we like to say. Good for him.
From California. As a matter of fact, he had a sports-themed bar mitzvah party in which he wore an Aaron Rodgers jersey because Aaron Rodgers is his guy. Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, so that's all of that is just called sports, you know, rivalries, emotions, good calls, bad calls. What is not sports and what has set us upon a very dangerous path and very thin ice, if you ask me, is when the athletic director of the aggrieved school, this ass clown named Mark Harlan, rushes to the podium in front of the media to say the following.
I've been an athletic director for 12 years. This game was absolutely stolen from us. We were excited about being in the Big 12, but tonight I am not. We won this game. Someone else stole it from us. Very disappointed. I will talk to the commissioner. This was not fair to our team. I'm disgusted by the professionalism of the officiating crew tonight.
Wow. Look here, dipshit. You're supposed to be the adult. And you start by bragging about how many years you've been an athletic director. That's not what you think it means. It means you should know fucking better. The kids getting upset, they're kids. They're supposed to. The coaches, Andy, with the white frothy coaching residue in the corner of their mouth, as our friend Chris Nocke likes to refer to it, that's understandable. Someone's got to be the adult. And as soon as you said those words, you didn't have to talk to the league office and the commissioner. They fucking find you. They find you $40,000. And a school that respects itself would have fired you today. Grow up.
You know, most people who start a sentence with their resume, it usually doesn't go right in the right direction.
Right. You're normally going to roll your eyes going, okay, pal, sure.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
See, this is where we're at in sports, where even the adults now are running around losing their fucking minds. You know, I just think it's very sad and dangerous. I don't know how we get back from the brink. And it's only going to get worse if somebody doesn't step up. Sportsmanship needs to be reinforced overtly, vocally, at every level now.
But you got to realize college football is not college football anymore. It's not just kids. It's paid professionals right now. And will be ongoing. It's not going to go back to the way it was.
Yeah, I know. But to me, hearing this, that this is another line that gets crossed. And then you had in the LSU-Alabama game, because Bama was on their way to running LSU out of the building, up 21-6, early third quarter, and lo and behold, a call goes against LSU, and next thing you know, there's trash being thrown on the field. That's when Kirk Herbstreit asked the following rhetorical question. Here's the roll of the tape.
They didn't think it was enough, but there's some debris getting showered on the field. Throwing it near the Alabama bench.
Why does that have to become a thing this year? Some idiots do this at Texas, and now all of a sudden we see it popping up in college football. Enough's enough, clowns.
Why is it a thing? Because it worked last week. They picked up a flag for PI after the bottles came flying. Why wouldn't fans try it?
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know why Herbstreit asked that question. He should hammer it home. This is the dangerous precedent that has been set. This cannot happen. These are just games. They're for our entertainment. Nobody is sentenced to death because a team loses.
Do you think that the gambling element has added to this? I think it has.
It hasn't helped. Because it's just made everything more crass, you know.
You got players who are getting direct messages and phone calls and texts from angry people who lost money. It's turned up the temperature for everybody.
Yeah, everything is more crass, including this moment on College Game Day, which I was shocked to see, but even more shocked when McAfee set it up to happen at least two other times, including one in which Brian Kelly was on the set, and he clearly did not want to be adjacent to it. Here's a fun little chant that LSU fans have pioneered. Take a listen.
Hey! Oh, it's 8 a.m. I think they're ready to go. We thank you. Let's have a day down here.
Suck that tiger bit, dick, bitch. I wonder what the women of College Game Day think about that. Jen Latta, who does their wonderful features, or Jess Sims, the Peloton superstar, who does similar type stuff. The producers as well. Where are the women of ESPN to go, hey, is this what we need to be as a show?
Well, having spent 6 years at the Four Letters, I can tell you that there are standards that are different for different people. And you know, McAfee is the favored guy right now. He's the ratings king. He's brought in all the eyeballs and all the people that they want. And yes, they overlook a lot of things, and he brings in that element. That's what he does.
But this is a chant that he knew was going to, you know, end with that chant.
That's part of what he does.
But listen to all of the hosts on the set laughing. Now, I heard it the first time, and I'm like, all right, it's the fans saying it, not them. All right, it was very loud and very audible. It surely won't happen again. Happened two other times from the in and out I was watching during college game day. And Brian Kelly did not like being up there hearing that. I mean, it's such bullshit, the double standards and the hypocrisy. Because, you know, ESPN wants to be this, you know, we're very sensitive and politically correct about something. You got a fan base, and listen, LSU fans, they are something else.
Yeah, right. But that's what they paid to be a part of. They went there specifically for that, right? Isn't that the atmosphere they wanted?
So if that's now acceptable, what's next?
I don't know. But the Nick Saban is regularly dropping S-bombs on the air on game day.
I know.
Nick Saban, a 72-year-old saint in coaching, you know?
I know. Well, it's part of the continuing coarsening of things. And it's too bad because, you know, there was an incredible moment with Herb Street and his beloved golden retriever, Ben, who passed away. Did you see that?
I did. He tried to introduce it and couldn't do it, right?
Here's the audio of him trying to set up this piece.
If you followed along in college football and social media anywhere, maybe even if you just drove down the street, we've seen billboards, we've seen signs. All of us have received a number of messages about the loss of Kirk's dog, Ben Herbstreit. And Kirk, we appreciate so much that you were sharing Ben with us over the years.
Yeah.
There's not much that has gotten as much attention on social media than the love for the dog. We've seen it. He's been a great teammate of ours for a while.
It's
Kirk has put together an essay remembering Ben and how much he meant to all of you, certainly meant to him. Here's our tribute to our friend Ben Herbstreit.
I mean, pretty powerful stuff right there.
Right. Yeah, he included him in all the games he called last year or so. And I've never had a dog growing up, but both of my kids have dogs. And
oh, they do?
Beloved, yeah, they're beloved members. Well, my daughter already has a daughter and a son on the way, and they have a dog. And my son just got married. They've had a dog for
that's awesome.
4 or 5 years, and they love him.
When Uncle Andy goes to visit, then do the dog snuggle up to you? Do you give him a good pet and a good pat?
Yeah. Nice. I do, but particularly when I go to my daughter's house, I'm more interested in seeing my granddaughter.
Well,
but,
of course.
I do give the dog a little pat there.
Yeah. People also noted that who was right next to Kirk in his moment to help reassure him, but the now 78-year-old Lee Corso, 88-year-old Lee Corso. He's right on the edge himself, and people have been saying that it's been Herbstreit who has really helped Lee out in his declining years, in which at times he has been hard to watch on that show because of his advancing age.
And
they said,
a stroke.
Yeah. And they said, what a wonderful sort of payback moment there, where it was Lee Corso leaning on Kirk to reassure him in that moment. It's just, those are moments that are television gold, and those are higher ideals. And that's what that show and college football can deliver. It's the crass bullshit, including chants that are vulgar from the fans being elicited by the former punter and WWE enthusiast they can do without. And I'm not against McAfee doing the rah-rah stuff. He's a great television personality. He has infused that show with a real energy. But there's got to be some producers to go, hey, we're not soliciting that chant today. We're better than that.
Well, once the line starts moving, it's hard to slow it down.
I guess so. There is also a pretty funny Saban roast of Paul Skeens, the LSU fireballer playing for the Pittsburgh Pirates, not married to but dating Livy Dunn, the outstanding gymnast from LSU. Skeens said, I didn't even know it was called the Holy War, Utah and BYU, until I did my homework before these picks, and I did a lot of homework. Saban, is that the most homework you've done at LSU? officer, I'd like to report a murder.
He's good.
He really is good. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, he coached at LSU, and they won a national championship.
Oh, yeah. And then became the enemy when he went to Alabama.
Alabama.
I was explaining the Alabama-LSU rivalry to my wife because she's like, well, isn't Auburn their big rival? And I go, that's their traditional rival, and they're certainly a big rival. But other than a year or two when they had a good quarterback, Cam Newton, you know, they've been kind of non-factors. LSU has been their most hated rival because they've been good and they can punch with them. I said, it's sort of like the Cowboys are the Redskins, or were the Redskins' primary rival. The Eagles, though, were our hated rival. Would you agree? Hated versus traditional?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the era you're talking about.
I guess, yeah.
In the 70s, man, the Eagles were terrible and the Cowboys were good. So,
yeah,
hard to say.
All right. Hiring? With Indeed, your search is over. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Indeed's matching engine leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support our show, saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. The World Series, Super Bowl, the Olympics. The world's top athletes get to play in these top-level sporting events thanks to one thing: teamwork. And teamwork can also protect your financial legacy and your family's future. SelectQuote licensed insurance agents are the perfect teammates when shopping for customized, affordable life insurance. They can find you the right policy to keep your financial legacy safely in your family's end zone. Other life insurance brokers offer impersonal, one-size-fits-all policies that may cost you more and cover you less, while SelectQuote's licensed insurance agents work for you to tailor a life insurance policy for your individual needs in as little as 15 minutes. Head to SelectQuote.com and a licensed insurance agent will call you right away with the right policy for your life and your budget. Get the right life insurance for you for less at SelectQuote.com/Zabe. Go to SelectQuote.com/Zabe today to get started. That's SelectQuote.com/Zabe.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. So Indiana goes to 10-0, and your son gets married on a weekend in which they go to 10-0. Your son, yep, who went to Indiana for basketball purposes, because he was a high school basketball player and loves hoops, but I'm sure he loves the fact the football team is now rolling at 10-0.
Yeah, he had several of his fraternity brothers there, and a couple of them were our ushers at the wedding, and they were all in on basketball. It's funny when
where
you started
what resort did you go to for post mortem wedding? Because he and his lovely bride got legally married weeks ago.
Well, actually, it was a couple months ago, and I wouldn't use the term post mortem. I would use some other term for that.
Okay, post hoc. How about post hoc? I think is the right word.
They had a legal wedding in August in the judge's chamber. This was an elaborate, really fun wedding. We had a wonderful time. It was at the Hilton in Cabo.
And it
was more than just a weekend. We got there on Wednesday, and we had a welcome party on Thursday. We had another party on Friday. We had a boat cruise. I mean, all kinds of different activities. And then the wedding itself was outdoors. The weather cooperated. Nice. And including the ceremony
on
outside.
The beach with gauzy white trestles hanging from a lattice.
It was not at the beach. It was at an outdoor facility about
really
10-minute drive. Yeah,
I thought it was like a law that if you had a destination wedding where there was beaches, Cabo, you go down to the beach for the actual ceremony for the photos.
They took some photos, sure, but it was like 130 people there, and we had a lot of dancing. It would have been difficult to do it down on the beach.
Well, you do the ceremony down there, and you retreat indoors to dance. But that's fun. So it was a wonderful event, and did the boys get to watch Indiana's hard-fought win over Michigan on Saturday while out of the country, yes or no?
No. Well, actually, the Michigan game was this week. So they were back.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. So the previous week, did they miss their Hoosiers play the game?
Yeah, I think that was a Peacock game anyway. So they were keeping up with the score, but they were all very happy that they'd gone to 9-0. And they were basically saying, hey, if we beat Michigan, we're in. They have Ohio State coming up after the bye. But even if they lose that game, they should be in the playoff. So, it's amazing.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate it?
The wedding or the
whole
game?
No, fuck the game. The whole weekend.
Oh, it was close to a 10.
That's awesome,
it was,
Andy.
It was just great. I mean, I really, you know, enjoyed meeting her friends. I knew some of his friends, some of them as long as, you know, going back to when he was in elementary school. They played on a great rec league baseball team together for 12 years, fall and spring. I mean, it was just really, really nice and a lot of fun. I mean, we just had a really good time. We did a hell of a hora. That's always key to a wedding.
Gotta smash the glass.
That's in the ceremony.
And then
the hora follows.
Is when you put the bride on a chair and dance around.
Both go up at the same time, the bride and the groom, and then they raise up, you know, other people. And it was just a lot of fun. It was great.
That is great. Congratulations, Andy. You really have knocked it out of the park with your two kids. Very successful. Both married. You got a grandkid as well.
Another on the way, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, a boy. We know that.
I'm just curious, and this will probably cause me to lose some sleep, is what did I say?
What did you say?
What did I say to you to not get an invite to this? I thought I was mishpucha. I thought I was tight 16 years in the cage with you doing radio, life events. I've known Jeremy since he was a young boy. Jeremy listens to this podcast.
He does.
What did I say?
Well, I mean, you're quite famous for saying no.
I know, but I mean, I wouldn't have minded an invite, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, let me be honest with what happened here. Samantha was supposed to get married in, I think it was May of 2020. I think that was the date. And then, of course, that got postponed because of the pandemic. We rescheduled for August of 21, thinking we'd be through it. And at that point, it got limited to, I think, like 63 people. So that cut the number down. And by the time we got to this, you know, I was looking at it like, it's a big schlep there. And, truth be told, only one of my friends showed up. So it was tough to get there, but it was well worth it.
No, I'm just kidding. You were right to not invite me. I would not have been able to go anyway, but I am quelling for you, my friend. I am full of happiness for you and your kids. By the way, post hoc versus post mortem. You ready? Yeah. Post mortem, which you're right, is the wrong word. It's a medical exam of a dead body.
Yeah,
post hoc means it occurs or is done after the event. So it's a post hoc.
Yeah, you got that right. Yeah, hoc is better than mortem.
Hoc is better than mortem would be.
And I would say this, that that you've been along for a lot of the journey. I'm thinking that the first time you met my kids, they must have been like, you know, 11 and 8 or something like that, right? They were pretty young.
Yeah. I fucking love your kids. I love your whole family. Well done, my friend. Clap, clap.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Some other college things. So Indiana's 10-0, which is incredible. They got a reckoning with Ohio State coming up, I think, 2 weekends from now. Ole Miss stunned Georgia. I mean, nobody is a super team because Georgia was supposed to be really, really good. Alabama routes LSU. Did you like the live Tiger back on the sideline for the first time in years?
Yeah, but it was like, you know, like a nursing home Tiger.
Oh. It was the fattest, most arthritic Tiger I've ever seen. And as I said on Twitter, and I would know, fat and arthritic. I'm like, I'm looking at that Tiger going, what are they feeding it? Uncrustables? Like, that thing can't even fucking move.
Here's something quickly on Alabama. In this new playoff with 12 teams, isn't it the hot team going in? Isn't this going to resemble baseball now that it used to be the best team throughout the year would have the best chance, you know, and would get the seeding playing the number four seed to get to the championship? Now it's, you know, getting hot at the right time. I mean, they opened great. Then they hit this midseason slide.
Right.
But right now they look like the best team in the country, don't they?
Yeah. Colorado is 7-2, Andy. As Deion Sanders continues to pack it up our ass. Big win over Texas Tech. Chippy win. Some unfortunate tomfoolery going on where first Deion's coaches were kicking over the pylons before the game. Dumb, but whatever. Then there was a ball boy incident. And then there was something with the fans throwing bottles on the field. And the ref is like, well, your players are blowing kisses to them. So maybe that's part of it. Deion then, you know, motherfucking them back. It's kind of ugly, but look, they're rolling right now. So you got to give them their credit.
But remember, his two sons and maybe the best player in the country, Travis Hunter, are leaving this year.
Right.
So let's see what happens. Does he leave with them?
Right.
And would he go to Florida State, which is crazy?
Florida State got crushed by Notre Dame 52-3. More assistant coaches fired on Sunday at Florida State. That's not going to help. And this was not like we know they lost a bunch of players, so they're going to probably struggle this year. They were a top 10 team to start the year. I call it the curse of Danny Cannell. Danny Cannell last year, who I like, wouldn't shut his yap about being left out of the playoff. Which was stupid because their best player, their wide receiver, got hurt right before got hurt right before the selection. And it made no sense to put him in. And he wouldn't shut up about it. And I'm like, Danny, I like you. Stop already. Now, the gods are sorting that one out right now because, holy shit, Florida State is one of the all-time collapses.
Yeah, TCU ruined it for Florida State. TCU just laying a complete egg in the championship game. Nobody wanted to see that again. That's what would have happened with Florida State.
Right. Penn State bounces back to win over Washington easily. They're 8-1 right now, so look out for them. And Boise State beats Nevada. Ashton Gentry, who should win the Heisman easily, 209 yards, 3 touchdowns. Everyone's loading the box to stop him, and they can't stop him.
Okay,
I mean, it's not like Boise State is this great throwing juggernaut on top.
I understand, but who was the last Heisman Trophy winner who most of the country didn't see?
That's a good point. It is a TV show. The Heisman Award is a TV show. So yeah,
like Ty Detmer back in 1990, something like that.
Right, pre-modern media age. I'm not saying he will win it, Andy. I think you're right. I think there's a possibility he won't, but I think he deserves it by far. Like, this kid is sick. And then I got two other things for you on the college football front. I've never heard Gus Johnson broken as an announcer until now. Ohio State so dismantled Purdue, which is one of the worst teams I've seen when they played against Wisconsin. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
Purdue can't do anything. Here was Gus Johnson normally punching up every call at 31-0 Ohio State as Purdue fumbles at their own 20.
First down at the 25 for Purdue, and a fumble on the play. Ohio State is there. They pick it up and run it in for a touchdown. Jack Sawyer. Tough day for the Boilers. Tough season for the Boilers. Ohio State.
Is he calling football or baseball there?
I swear to God, I had to listen to that 5 times going, is this an AI spoof? Did somebody run an AI spoofer on Gus Johnson. That's what I think makes Gus Johnson great. He'll throw you curveballs like this. When it's 31-0 and Purdue is shitting their pants again, Gus Johnson is going to be like, listen, I'm not getting excited over this. And it's a fumble, and they scored a touchdown. Tough day for Purdue. Well done.
I understand the Ohio State at noon, big noon kickoff, but somebody should have looked at this and said, this has no chance to be a game, and flexed it out. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense to have those two teams play in the high noon game.
And then there's this. Army is 8-0. Jeff Monken has the Black Knights rolling, and they beat a pretty game North Texas opponent by a score of 14-3, but they had it with a 21-play, 94-yard drive that ate up 13 minutes and 54 seconds of clock.
That's what they do.
If that is not the drive of the year in college football, I don't know what is. That is like a army-wide march across Mongolia. 21 plays, 94 yards, almost 14 minutes. Took the whole quarter and rammed it in for a touchdown.
Did you put them in the playoff? I guess you do. If they go undefeated, you have to.
You would have to, because they're slotted in, and I wouldn't be against it. I wouldn't be against it, even if you could say, well, you know, if you really rate them according to Sagarin or Ken Pom, or Ken Pom doesn't do football ratings, but you get my point. You can make the argument they don't belong, but I say, fuck it. That's why we got 12 teams. And so you feed the weakest team, and I'm not sure where they would be slotted, because I think they would win that automatic fourth seed as the group of five. Don't quote me on how this playoff goes. I've not done my homework on it. Just like Paul Skeens hasn't done his homework. But, yeah, I would put him in. I would, Andy. I would be with it.
I think you have to. And if you draw them, I mean, that's a scary draw, because they're tough to prepare for. They don't play football like anybody else.
Yeah. All right, in the NFL, Andy, what do you think of your Commanders putting on an absolute game fight against a nasty defense in Pittsburgh? And a quarterback switch, I think, that has been vindicated for Coach Tomlin, that Wilson's still limited in some ways. He's not Mr. Unlimited. He is Mr. Limited, but he's the better guy offensively for him. And they put on a hell of a fight. Almost had a chance to kick a go-ahead game-winning field goal, but came up just short on a tough spot, I would say, on a completion to Zach Ertz.
Yeah, the call on the field was he came up short. There wasn't enough to overturn it. I thought he made it, but you know, here's the thing about this game. If you watch the whole game, and I watched every game they played this year, they didn't play well. This is one of their worst games that they've had. Now, some of it is that Pittsburgh defense and the pass rush,
right?
But the fact that they lost a 1-point game to a great Hall of Fame coach with a quarterback who's been to two Super Bowls, you know, and they're 7-3. These games are going to happen. And yes, they blew a 10-point lead in the second half, but I think they played gamely. I think they played well, and I think they have a chance to go to Philadelphia and win, even though the Eagles blew out the Cowboys.
Yeah. Eagles blew out the Cowboys. They also made a lot of mistakes in the game against Dallas. Bad ball security, and just, you know, Dallas, you can't even comp them because they've completely collapsed. I said to you at halftime when the Commanders were leading, I said, this team is 30 minutes away from really making some noise. And I still think they're there. I don't think they're fluky at all. I think they're a good team, but they've got a lot of injuries piling up right now, and that's tough.
Yeah, and the bye week for the third straight year comes in week 14. So
NFL. Week 14, and they got to turn around and play in 4 days on Thursday night, right?
They had two linemen out. The center was banged up. Brian Robinson didn't play again. They've got, you know, some injuries, as every team does at this time of year. But the fact that they battle every week, this whole thing has been turned around remarkably in 1 year. It's really amazing that they're a team that now people complain that they're 7-3 and they might collapse. You know?
Let's not start with that. There was a ton of Steeler fans in the stands.
I know.
But
yeah,
there's no way to stop it.
No, there's not. Look, this team was 6-2 in 2008 with Jim Zorn. They played a Sunday night game against Pittsburgh, and they had to go to a silent snap count.
At times, it sounded like he was near that today.
Yeah, it was. It was
near that.
bought up the. No, it looked like I heard estimates 70-30. And if you saw, they tried to counter it with
70-30 Steelers?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well,
no.
They tried to counter it with these burgundy towels to the terrible towels.
No.
But once the Steelers started rolling, it looked pretty yellow out there in the stands.
Pretty bad. All right, I got to end with this. For as long as I've known you, you have been the I got to ask this guy. And you will tell sports figures if you have said, I think you should be fired, you tell them to their face. You said it to Norv once, right?
Yep.
You said it to Randy Edsall once.
Yep.
I have to ask this because my people have been saying you got to ask them, but what did you think of the election?
Okay. I am disappointed in the result, but unlike some people, when elections are settled the way they don't want them to go, I accept the results. So he is the president of the United States. For the next 4 years, he has promised to make America great again, and I sure hope he does.
That's a very nice, level-headed, sane take. Do you have any scouting for your team if you were a football coach to go, look, we need to do more of this, less of that. We need to shore this up. We need to go ahead and move on from that. Any scouting you would do for your team?
In 4 years, there's going to be a new president, no matter what, whether he's Republican or she is Republican or Democrat. So they got 4 years to get it together. And in hindsight, Joe Biden was too old to run again. And that proved to be a big part of the picture.
Yeah. All right, Andy. Sounds good. There, I asked, you answered, and it's on record. God bless you for that. So Thursday night, the Commanders play where again?
At Philly.
Oh, that's right, at Philly. You want to go? I'll be in Wisconsin, too bad. The Bears have collapsed, and I'm going to be hosting a watch party at the casino in Milwaukee, Pottawatomie, for Packer fans, and it's going to be an absolute festivus because the Bears have just imploded.
That's malpractice. That they ought to get sued by the league if they ruin this guy.
Andy, I don't think he's that good.
I think he's got skills and maybe under the right direction. I think that Cliff Kingsbury is going to be their coach next year. That's what I think.
Wow. Yeah. And Cliff was run out on a rail in Arizona. As a head coach, though. As a head coach, as a coordinator, he's really, really good.
I know. He's done magic with Jaden Daniels. Daniels is good, no question, but he's done a good job of him.
All right. Very good. Andy, as always, a pleasure, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Bye, Zach. Take care.
See you. There you go. Before we end today, let's take a moment to reflect and observe one of the great days in our country's annual remembrance, and that is Veterans Day. And what better way for me to read you a little bit of factoidal information about Veterans Day than to lay it over the great Liberty Fanfare, written by John Williams, conducted by the great Keith Lockhart of the Boston Pops. No greater collection of instruments and pure musicians than the Boston effing Pops. This song was written in 1986. It was part commissioned to celebrate the centennial of the Statue of Liberty on July 4th of that year, and it is a masterpiece. Just listen to that, huh? Of course, what has John Williams ever written that isn't a masterpiece? So thank you to all who served, all the veterans out there, and their families. Because remember, the families serve alongside back home without their mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters. Veterans Day began as Armistice Day. And it was in celebration of World War I ending on the 11th hour of the 11th day at the 11th month of 1918. That's when the peace agreement with Germany went into effect. Armistice Day began as a celebration recognizing the victory of Allied forces in that war, and it was renamed Veterans Day by President Dwight Eisenhower in 1954. In 1968, Congress passed a law called the Uniform Holiday Bill, which was to ensure three-day weekends for federal employees for celebrating four national holidays, all of them on Mondays: Washington's birthday, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, and Columbus Day. But that didn't seem to sit right. The bill assigned the fourth Monday of October as the original date for Veterans Day, but many states disapproved of it. Finally, in 1975, President Gerald Ford returned Veterans Day to its rightful spot on November 11th, anchoring it to its significance. 11th day, 11th hour, 11th month, 1918. And I want to shout out my good friends, and if I missed any, I apologize, but those that I know who have served, including Corporal Kevin Workus, the Desert Fox, as I call him, 0811 Field Artillery, 5th Battalion, 11th Marine Regiment. Dave Adams, Corporal, U.S. Marine Corps, sniper, 3 deployments, Philippines, Africa, Iraq, 27 confirmed kills. You don't believe him? Check out his title list. It's got a 27 on it. Mikey O'Neill, 7th Signal Battalion, Darmstadt, Germany. Jason Autumn, Corporal, Marine Wing Headquarters, Squadron 2, Cherry Point, North Carolina. Fred Minnick, our bourbon friend, Army Staff Sergeant, photojournalist, Iraq 2004, throughout the Middle East for 3 years from 03 to 05. My guy Mike McGowan, we've not forgotten about you, Mikey. We're here for you. West Point and 31st ADA Brigade, Fort Hood, Texas. Joe Miller, a young man who is the son of my good golfing friend Bob Miller, who is a Navy SEAL now. Incredible. According to the Census Bureau, in 2021, there were 16.5 million veterans living in the U.S. That's about 6.4% of the adult population. 16 million served in World War II. 167,000 are still alive. To all of them and all of you on this Veterans Day, thank you from the bottom of our hearts, everyone who did not serve and are your friends and family to this day. And that'll do it for us. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow. As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.